The band wanted me to mention too that they're playing this Saturday. This Saturday, from 5 to 7 down under the bridge in Cartersville. I wanted to. Last night, as we was coming back from Knoxville, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning somewhere on the highway, and I was getting sleepy. I didn't even know 1 o'clock come twice a day. And I asked Luke to read me something that would wake me up. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's from Isaiah chapter 6, and I wanted to read it to you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And we sang the rest of the way home. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. I pray that your temple here is filled with your glory this morning. For you are holy, holy, holy. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Powerful, powerful scripture. Where's my stool, y'all? Can you imagine what that looks like? Luke said, "I can't wait to see one of them seraphims." Me, I'd like to see one flying around here now. Who knows? How to free myself from the weight of worry. We're going to be continuing our series on living with a margin. This is part 8, if you want to got your outlines out. How to free ourselves from the weight of worry. Who wants to do that? How do we do that? Yeah, everybody. I put a definition of worry as one of them up here on the outline. It says, the definition of worry is this: to allow one's mind to dwell on actual or potential difficulty or troubles. And we're going to use this definition today. There doesn't seem to be much benefit of worrying. Would y'all agree with me on that? There's hundreds of downsides to worry. And I kind of put it into some categories here instead of singling it out on your outline. First downside that I put here is that it cannibalizes the margin to my mind. It kind of takes over. Worry takes over my mind, and it robs me of the ability to be content, to be free. The second one I put on the downside to worry is that it shifts my focus from faith to fear. I become fearful because I worry. Then the third downside I put here is this: worry weighs me down spiritually, emotionally, socially, and physically. There's a lot of physical side effects to worry. Ulcers, a weaker immune system, I wrote these down, acid reflux, anxiety, panic attack, increased blood pressure, irritable bowel problems, Who wants one of them? You know, backaches, migraines, fatigue. And what about this one? Trouble sleeping. That ain't good either, is it? Those are all side effects to worry. So what are the upsides of worry? Got you a blank there. Do you know what one of the upsides to worry is? None. And some of you are thinking, well, I'm worried now because I can't fill that blank in. And I done that just for you blank filler inners that I got to be able to fill this blank in, or I can't participate in worship today. There's nothing to put in that blank. There is no upside to worry, and yet we worry. Some of you guys worry a lot. Some right now. Today, you came in with a worry. And you're sitting in your chair worrying. It might be a burden that you're carrying. A fear that you're living with. Nervous about. There might be something you're obsessing over. Some of you guys are carrying some heavy weight today. Am I right? You brought in some heavy baggage. What do you do with that? How do we free ourselves from the weight of worry? I'm going to give you some steps and some scripture to kind of hold on to. The first step is this. Now you get to fill in some blanks. Pinpoint my problem areas. The first step is to pinpoint my problem areas. And we can learn this from David's prayer in 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. David is giving God the freedom. And it's not for God's benefit. But he's giving him the freedom to do a heart check on him. And this is for David's benefit. But he's giving God the freedom to do this, to point out stuff in his heart that David is carrying that he knows he ought not to be carrying. It might be a sin. It might be an attitude. It may be a habit. It may be a worry. But David is saying, search my heart and point it out. Point it out. Now, what I found is we're real comfortable praying this prayer on behalf of other people. I've heard you do. I've done it. Oh, Lord, search their heart. Search their heart. Because what we're really saying is, Lord, search their heart. Mine's good. I've heard you do it. I've done it. We're real comfortable doing that. Because, Lord, if you could see, I don't say it, but I know it in my mind. I've said it. Lord, if you'll search their heart, the world will be a better place. Amen. How many of you said this? Search my boss's heart. I know every one of you said it. Search my boss's heart. I hope Nick's not saying it right now. Search my boss's heart. Guys, this verse is for you and me to give God a chance to pinpoint some problem areas in our lives. This is a worry that I need not carry. A fear that I shouldn't have. A sin that I should not practice. Search my heart, O God. Everybody has a problem area. And if you think you don't, then that's the problem area. Every single one of us have worries that we carry. And they're heavy. And we don't know what to do with them. But the Bible says we are to do a spiritual inventory and let God point those out. So I want you to do something real quick. Everybody get a pen in their hand or their phone on the notebook thing. I want you to do something. We're going to get real quiet for a few seconds here. And I want you to write down some of those areas. Write down maybe some pain points that you worry about. Marriage. Your children. Health. Finances. Safety. Future. Relationships. World events. You guys put those on Facebook, so I know you're worried about some of them. Career, your career, or school. Whatever you got going on. God, would you put search my heart and show me some words. Let me give you a few seconds. For most of us, that probably came pretty easy. We are painfully aware of our worries. Stuff that's weighing us down. And I wanted us to write it out. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. Sometimes worry becomes a way of life. I hear people say, well, it's just my burden to bear. I'm a worrier. I've heard people describe other people, oh, he's just a worrier. Or she's just a worrier. And it is what it is. Well, I got news for you. Jesus doesn't want us to live like that. He doesn't want us to live like that. He wants to help. He wants to help us free ourselves from those by letting him pinpoint them to us. Number two, I want you to remember that worry is worthless. Worry is worthless. One of the things that I love about Jesus and his teaching is his incredible ability to be profound yet simple. Yet simple. He shares the deepest of truths in the most clear and simple ways. I don't think it's ever found any clearer in Matthew 6. Is that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. I can't wait to see them after the service. They don't plant, harvest, or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Listen to this. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life. Anybody can understand that. It's not hard, but it's powerful. It's profound. And guess what? It's potentially life-changing. Life-changing. Worry actually takes time off your life. Off your life. It certainly doesn't add to it. And yet we worry. Some worry a lot. Would you agree with me? We worry. When you think of things that worry, you ever think about, you know the term ROI, return on investment? And that's what I'd like to think about when we think about worry, especially the time you spend on worrying. What's the return on the investment of your time that you spent on worry? Jesus would say that you have yielded nothing. It's worthless. What's really interesting is I found some stuff on the internet where we spend our time worrying. And I wanted to share this with you. 40% of the things people worry about never happen. I used to tell my kids, Luke and Sarah, they'd be worried about something that was going to happen, they thought might happen next week or next day at school. I said, son, you're worrying about something that ain't even happened yet. 40% of the things people worry about never happen. 30% of the things people worry about are in the past that can't be changed. Can I get a big amen? It can't be changed. We worry about regrets. 12% of the things we worry about are about health problems that usually never occur. Never occur. 10% are petty, miscellaneous worries. Did I lock the door? Did I cut the iron off? Petty, miscellaneous worries. You know, did I feed the dog? Those petty, they're not the end of the world. Well, maybe for the dog it's the end of the world, but a lot of it we worry about is not the end of the world. Yet we worry. I don't know if you can do math or not, but that's 92%. So that leaves 8% of your worries. Only 8% of your worries are only worth the word I think I'm trying to figure out here is concerning yourself about, spending any time with them. 92% are worthless. 92% are inconsequential. 8% of what we worry about is legitimate. Stuff that we should be concerned about. Stuff that we should pay attention to. The issue isn't worthless. Only 8%. The issue isn't worthless, but worry is. Amen? I found those to be some good statistics. So what do we do with that remaining 8%? Number three, this is the 8%. Cast my cares on Jesus. Cast my cares on Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Usually we want to just drop these things that we've been talking about. We just want to drop them. Drop them. And we don't so much care about where it goes. I found myself doing this last night. You get into some crazy conversations when you're trying to stay awake in the car. And we got into this conversation about everybody in my family that was in the car last night said they would jump out of an airplane, parachute. Well, they're stupid. They're dumb. Why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? And I said, oh, I'm not even going with you. I'm not even getting in the car, headed there, nothing. I can't watch that. I can't watch them jump out of an airplane. You're dumb. And I thought, I'm worried about it. I was worried about it. You know, I just didn't want to talk about it. You know, no. I was worried. We worry about things. But we, you know, some people have some great advice for us, don't they? You know what this great advice that I've received before? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Isn't that great? Everything's just gone. Because somebody told you not to worry about it. Why, my wife plummets to her death. I'm not supposed to worry about it. You know, for 5 minutes I could hear Luke screaming in my mind. But somebody told me not to worry about it. So I'm good. It's terrible advice. I'm good. Yeah. Anna, was that you or was that a pancake right now? Those are the things that I could see. Don't worry about it, though. I'm good. Jesus says, cast them on him. I can take your problems. I can take your worries. But we have to choose to place them in his hands. And we have to choose to trust that Jesus is capable of taking care of them. Now, it's easy to say we believe. Let me say this. It's easier to say we believe in somebody than to say we trust somebody. Amen? There's a big difference in there. It's easier to say we believe than to put our trust in them, especially when it comes to our lives. But Jesus says in this verse to put it all in his hands. He says, I can handle it. Now, you may have already known these things, you know, but if you start worrying, it may just be an indication that you've forgotten these things. I want to give you the three things about what I'm about to share. It's not on your outline, but I want to give you three things that you might have forgotten when you start to worry. Number one, God has unlimited power. You may have forgotten this when you start to worry. God has unlimited power. He's big enough, he's strong enough to take on whatever comes your way. You can be confident. You can be confident. I had a buddy in the ninth grade. His name was Keith Morgan. Now, I was little in the ninth grade. I was less than 100 pounds. But my mouth weighed about 250. Believe it or not, I can talk a lot of smack. And son, I could do it. You know, according to my mouth, I could whoop everybody in high school. You know why I was confident? Keith was big. He was with me. I didn't talk a lot of smack unless Keith was right behind me. He was my friend. Right when I got them to the breaking point where they wanted to fight us, what's up, Key? Hey, this is Keith, my friend here. He's been in the ninth grade for 5 years. Keith had my back. Who's got your back? Who has your back? God has unlimited power. The second thing we forget is God has the best solution. God has the best solution. God has the best solution. He sees everything. He sees every angle of what's going on. He knows what everybody's thinking. He has the best solution to get you and me out of that problem. Out of that problem. And when I trust God, it's saying, God, you've got the best solution to my problem. But when I worry, it's like saying, God, I believe in you, but I don't trust you. I have the best solution. Especially when it don't turn out like I want it to. Oftentimes, to get to what is good or best, we got to crawl through some valleys of pain. We got to crawl through. Guys, we can trust that if we're following Jesus, that he can handle whatever we go through, whatever we're going through. He will use all his power. He will use all his strength, his connections. The third thing that we forgot when we began to worry is this. God has unending love for you. And by the way, Keith didn't spend 5 years in the ninth grade. He did take up for me a lot. We lost him last year. He passed away. God has unending love for you. I think this is most important because even if God had all the power, and he does, and he has all the wisdom, he does, but if he didn't care for you, if he didn't care for you, but he does, God loves you so much that me and you, we can go to him with anything, anything. And when we start, here's what's neat. I thought about this last night as Luke read Isaiah 6. When we start to look to him, we start to see how he looks at us. When we begin to look at him, and we need to know his love for us. How do we do this? This worrying is a state of mind. Would y'all agree with me on that? Worrying is just a state of mind. So we need to change our mind. Worry is a choice. It's not who you are. When people say, oh, he or she's just a worrier. Worry is not who you are. Worry is a choice. Trust is a choice. And let me tell you something about worry and trust. You can't do both of them at the same time. You need to choose to put your trust in God. And I'm talking about put the full weight, cast all your cares, not part of them, put the full weight of your problems in his hands. And then number four, walk in the peace he provides. Walk in the peace he provides. Philippians 4:6-7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This passage here gives us a pathway to peace. Let's walk through it real quick. First, he says, don't worry about anything. Not just forget about it. Don't not just drop it. He says, don't worry about anything by giving it to God. He says, give it to God. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. How do I do that? This passage says, tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. And thank him for what he's done. Tell him what you need. And that's a simple thing. You don't have to be. I don't have to be. You don't have to be eloquent with God. I think I told y'all the other morning at 5:53, I said in my driveway and said, God, I'm overwhelmed. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I don't know how to handle this. You know what another good word to use is? I've told you hundreds of times, help. Help. Please. You don't have to have all the right words. We get so twisted and tied up in our worries that we forget that we have a loving, all-knowing Father right there. Right there. But what I love about him is one that wants to help you. One that wants to help. You see, we don't need to know the answers. We don't need to know the solutions. We just need to ask for help. We're sitting around trying to figure out things and trying to reason out things, and when we just need to help or ask for help, then we just need to thank him for all he's done. I'm going to tell you something. When you start thanking him for all he's done, you can remember who he is and where your identity lies. And if you're counting on yourself to solve all the problems, no wonder you're stressed out. It doesn't matter how smart, it doesn't matter how capable, it doesn't matter how powerful you are, it doesn't matter how much money you got, it doesn't matter how many people you know. You are not built to handle all your problems. God wants and desires to lead you and direct you. God wants and desires to be with you every step of the way. He's everything and more that you and I need. Guys, peace doesn't come from your ability to solve everything. The key to peace is finding rest in who Jesus is. Then it says, then you will experience God's peace. His peace exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God wants to journey with you, man. God wants to create an adventure. Life isn't just about accomplishing great things. It's about being on an adventure with God. An adventure. Adventure. That can only happen when we give God control. He promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And we're on that path to peace. But as we close, I want to tell you all of this. If you're here for the first time, you ever walked in a church building, I want to tell you this starts with a loving relationship with God. And you may be here and you've never trusted him with your problems and your burdens. I want to give you that opportunity to turn them over to him today. And you can do that right now. You can do it from your seat, or you can come down here to the altar and pray. I like to come to the altar, and I'm going to tell you why. It's where you leave dead stuff. Where you place it there. But you can do it from your seat. It's merely a conversation with God to begin this incredible journey with him. For 30 years, I've been on an incredible journey with him. He's placed men and women in my life that we've been on this journey together. And I'm going to tell you, it's been an adventure. It's not this journey with God, this adventure with God, is not for the weak-hearted. It's fun. I think if it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do so much of it. I love being on an adventure with Him. You may be here today. I want to tell you something. You've been choosing to carry a load all by yourself. If you came in here with a bunch of worries, a bunch of burdens, you chose to. You chose to. You don't have to. Just cast all your cares on Him. Who cares? Who cares? Thought for the week. Worry. Jesus wants to lighten my load. Jesus wants to lighten my load. Our Heavenly Father wants to lighten your load. You know, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm at fault for being a parent. Sometimes I practice tough love and, you know, make them go get their own milk or something. But for the biggest part, I want to lighten the load for my children. I don't want them walking around all stressed and worried out. Come talk to me, son. I can't help if you don't talk to me. I used to tell Luke, you got to verbalize it, man. I don't know what you're going through if you don't tell me. It's kind of the same thing with God. Let's verbalize it today. Come talk to Him. Tell Him what's bothering you. If you need me to pray with you, I will. Paxton and Debbie, they're here. We'll all pray with you. Ben, come on up. My Lord. Some of us walked in here carrying stuff, old heavy stuff. Whether it be with our kids, our finances, our health, or whatever, we've been carrying this around. We've just been worried, sitting around worrying about it. It ain't added nothing to our life. I pray for peace for my folks. Let them walk into freedom. Let them live with margin in my mind. Fear's been taking over my mind. Worry's been taking over my thoughts. Can't sleep at night. Let us remember You love us. Let us remember You're powerful. Let us remember You have the best solutions. Well, we love You. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.